If you got your Bible, go to 1 John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter number 4 this morning. And if you're using the church Bible out there that we make available in the foyer, it's page 614. And while you're turning there, we did Discovering Crossroads on Saturday, which is a class we do for new people. If you're interested in knowing more about our church, maybe even becoming part of our church family, that'd be the first step, is to come to this class. My wife and I teach it. We've got one more. It's this Wednesday night at 6:30. If you look at the screen there, you'll notice that's how you can sign up. Go to crbible.com. That's our website. But then just put /discover, and there'll be a form. Take you about 60 seconds. Fill that out. And if you're watching online, also, you can fill that out. And then Wednesday night, 6:30, it's in this building right through that door. First door on the left, and so it's right here. You could throw a rock and hit the room from here, all right? So we hope you'll come out and discover more about our church. We love to talk about that. And, you know, on Sunday mornings here this year, and it's hard to believe it's February, but this year we've been talking about this. Can anybody look at that? There's 9 things there, and can anybody tell me what is that called, those things right there? What are that called? Some of you said fruits, not fruits. Fruit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's all one, and there's 9 components that make up the fruit of the Spirit, so we don't pick and choose what we want. This is what God is doing when He is at work in your life. And we said, you know, it's interesting that it's not, when He said the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, when God is at work in your life, He didn't say, okay, this is what it looks like. You read your Bible, you pray, you go to church, you give generously. These are not actions, things you do. It's like, no, these are character traits. These deal with the person that you are. What kind of person are you? And that's what God's doing, is He's changing the kind of person that we are, because if we are the right kind of person on the inside, then we will want to do the right thing. So when God begins to work in our life, and then this is how it shows up, is that you begin to love. You begin to have a joy, a real joy. There's a peace that anchors your heart. You're just a person at peace instead of ill at ease. And then you got patience and gentleness and goodness. You know, there's a lot of people that do religious things. And, you know, you can do things but yet not have this, you know? It's like, you know, there are people I know, they read the Bible through every year, you know? And you can read the Bible through every year and be grumpy and mean, right? No, the fruit of the Spirit is, notice, gentleness, right? And meekness. And so that's why He doesn't list things that you do. He lists the kind of person that you are. Question, what's at the top of the list? Love. That's right. Does that surprise you, yes or no? No, because Jesus said the number one commandment in the whole Bible is to love God. The second commandment is to love your neighbor, right, as yourself. And that concurs with what Paul wrote. He said the whole law could be summed up in one thing, and that is you love your neighbor. And so it doesn't surprise us at all that love would be at the top. I mean, Jesus said, by this all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He said that's the distinguishing mark, is love. And so we're in 1 John 4, and verses 7 through 16, this passage is all about love. And we said we're going to break this down into 3 components here about love. And we covered one last week. We talked about how God loved us. Are you thankful God loved you? Amen. God loved us. In fact, God loved us so much, the Bible says He sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so God loved us. It was a personal love. It was an active love. But then the second thing that I want to look at is this. If it's in your handout, if you got your handout, is not only does this passage teach that God loved us, but number two, it teaches that we know God. Now, did you know that knowing God and loving people go hand in hand? Look at verses 7 and 8. Look at this. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, notice, and knows God. Anybody who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so he says, wait a minute, everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. So wait a minute, that makes sense. So if God is love and I know God, he's love and I know him, that should equal me going out and loving other people, right? So what does the Bible mean, though, when it talks about knowing God? That's important, right? Because he says, if you know, he says in this passage that if you love, that means you're born of God, you know God. But if you don't love, you don't know God. Well, what does it mean to know God? Does it mean that we have an intellectual understanding of God? Does it mean that we know about God? You know, James said that the devils, the demons, believe in God and tremble. So I don't think that's what John's talking about here in this text, is just having an intellectual understanding that there's a God. Most people in the world believe in some sort of God, but they don't know God. Let me give you an illustration. My wife, Denise, here on the front row, if you ever don't see her, by the way, she's been helping a lot in children's ministry over there. So if she's ever not here, you wonder where she's at. She's over there with the kids, and you're here. Right? So you're here. So who's minding the store next? Okay. All right. It's well taken care of, right? Okay, good. So Denise and I, we went to the same college. That's how we met. And I knew about Denise before I knew Denise. I knew about her. Oh, yeah, trust me. I knew about her. You know? I mean, I saw her in the hallways at the college. I saw her at, we went to the same church. I saw her at church. I saw her in the lunchroom. I'll never forget. I was looking over my bologna sandwich, and she came in, and I knew it was love. Remember that? I was looking at you right over my bologna sandwich. But see, that didn't really happen. I'm just making that up. But I did look at you in the lunchroom a lot, though. But no, I my point is this, is that a lot of you don't really understand what a character I am, all right? I like to laugh. Now, some, I would say I'm a character. Denise would just say sometimes I'm weird, all right? So, but no, I mean, I had an intellectual understanding that she existed. But I didn't know her. Now, thank God I would come to know her. Praise the Lord. I might just dance on that when I might. But John talks about knowing God. What does that mean? Well, it's more than an intellectual understanding. No more than, I mean, I knew that she existed. But I didn't know her. I knew about her. I didn't know her. And when John talks about knowing God, it carries with it the idea of a deep relationship, an intimate union. We know God. That's personal, man. Nobody can do that for you. I think about the guy who wrote this, the Apostle John. And I think about how many people knew about Jesus Christ. They knew he existed. Crowds of people saw him. They saw him preach and teach. They saw his miracles. They saw his healings. Tons of people knew about Jesus. But John really knew Jesus. John was comfortable enough that at the Last Supper, he's leaning up against Jesus' chest like a child with his mom or his dad. Jesus was like a dad to him, a spiritual father to him. And he's leaning up next to him. He knew Jesus. And many people, they don't have that personal relationship with God, with Jesus. They know about him in their head, but it's never gotten into their heart. And that may be you today. That was me. I knew about God, I knew about Jesus, I knew he died on the cross, and I believed that, and I believed he rose from death, but I didn't know him until the day that my brother shared with me from the Bible how I could know him, and I'll never forget that day when I came to know Christ and really know him. And if you are here and that's you, we would love to just take the Bible and show you how you can know Christ. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity after the service to show a couple of people how they could really know Christ. And both of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that was exciting, you know. It was so great. Yeah, amen. That's why we're here. We're here to help you. So if you want to know the Lord, we're here to point you to him and to show you from the Bible how you can not just know about him, but know him. What does that mean to know God? Well, John says this in your handout, if you're taking notes. It says if we know God, it means that we've been born of God. If we know God, it means that we've been born of God. In verse 7, if you'll glance down at that again and look at it, verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Now look at this, follow this. "For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." What does it mean to be born of God? It means that something has happened inside of us. Being born speaks of new life, right? New life. So that means I'm no longer dead on the inside spiritually. I'm no longer dead in my sins. I'm alive. I got the life of God inside of me. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I've become part of his family. Remember, James said the devils believe in God and tremble. Believing in God and knowing God are two completely different things. If we know God and we are born of God and we are in union with him, that relationship should affect us. Do you agree with that? Think logically with me. Think back to Denise. Okay? That the fact that I came to know her, really know her, that's affected my life. Still does. And had I just known about her, it wouldn't have. There's a lot of people at college that I knew about. There's a lot of people at college I met, but I didn't know them, and that hasn't affected my life at all. But the fact that I came to know her has affected my life. And if you know God, it should affect your life. God's nature is to love. He's love. And so a person who knows God and has been born of God, they'll respond to God's nature of love. And it's not something forced or manufactured or fakey or worked up. It's a natural thing. People don't necessarily look at us and go, "Wow, man, wow, she's loving. He's so loving. Wow, what love." They don't necessarily do that. It's just something that flows naturally from us. Love, because we know God and because we're born of God. We are partakers of his nature, and his nature is to love. God is love. Therefore, we love because we know God. We are born of God. So we love. Number two, if we know God, it means that our sins have been forgiven. Verse 10 is so amazing. It's one of those wow verses, you know. Look at verse 10. It says, "In this is love." Wow. This is so amazing. "Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Now that right there, friend, is amazing. I'll tell you why it's amazing. If you've ever been in any religious system, you know how amazing that is. Because that flies in the face of religion. Because religious systems typically teach that the people in that religion are expected to do something to try to appease God and to try to obtain some type of forgiveness. The people have to do something to atone for their sins, right? You're familiar with that. Many of you were like me. You were in another religion, and you know that that was preached and taught, and it was lectured to you. You have to do this and do that in order to atone for your sins. But the truth of Scripture is this. The truth of Scripture is that we did not love God. He loved us, and Christ became an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It wasn't me doing something. He did something whereby my sins could be fully forgiven. It wasn't us doing something. It wasn't us atoning for our sins. No, he did something to atone for our sins. That's the truth of Scripture, man. That's amazing. It's like this. Pastor Rob is, or Clayton, you can help me. If say, Clayton, you stand at the edge of those steps down there, and Clayton represents a person on earth, and then I'm God up in heaven, and religion is like, Clayton's down here, stay down there, okay, you're on the earth, I'm in heaven, and you, I represent God. Religion is like, you need to reach for God, man, reach. You need to grope for God. Yeah, you need to try to get God to love you. And religion's like, you need to do something, Clayton. You need to do something to atone for your sins. You need to do something whereby God will be merciful to you and forgive you of all that you have done. And you need to reach out to Him. Reach out and grasp for God and see if you can get God to love you. You're grasping good, man. All right, yeah. Dude, great, man. He's in the part right now. And so he's grasping it. And now that's religion, right? And now here's what the Scripture just taught us. The Scripture just taught us is that Clayton didn't love God first. God looked down and said, I love Clayton. And I want Clayton to be with me. And so God's attitude was, you know what? He could never do enough to atone for his sins. I don't expect you to do anything to atone for your sins. Guess what? I'm going to send my son. He's going to die on the cross, and he is going to atone for your sins for you. He's going to do all the work for you. And instead of you grasping and groping for me, God says, I'm going to reach out to you. And all you got to do is reach out and take it, man. And I'm going to pull you up to me. God says, I'm reaching out first. God says, I initiated this. I loved you first. I atoned for your sins. All you have to do is accept and receive what I did for you. And when I'm reaching out first. All you got to do is take my hand. Man, if you're down in a hole and you can't get out and somebody reaches their hand down to try to lift you out, they can't make you take a hold of their hand, but it'd be a real good idea, wouldn't it? Be a real good idea, right? And that's what God did, see? That's the truth of Scripture. And that kind of love that God has for Clayton, right? Again, back in the illustration, the fact that God would reach out first and God would atone for his sins. He doesn't expect him to atone for him. God says, no, I already atoned for all your sins. I already did the work. I'm reaching out and loving you first. That kind of love, don't you think that ought to cause Clayton to then go out and forgive and love other people? If all of his sins have been forgiven? See, that's the idea of Scripture. Because we've been loved and forgiven, that should lead us to go out and love and forgive other people. Amen, church? Amen. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So, what have we learned so far from this text? Here's what we learned. God loved us. He started it, okay? He loved us. Because he loved us, he sent his son to die for us, so now we can know God. We know him, really know him. Not just know about him. He's not some distant, aloof God. No, we know him. We have a relationship. We're born of God. But then there's one other thing, and I want you to look at this in your handout, and that is this truth. This passage teaches us that God dwells in us. He dwells in us. Now, that's amazing because God didn't have to do that. You know what? Back to this illustration. God could have been like, okay, I'll reach out, and yes, I will love you, and yes, I will save you, Clayton. But that's it. Now you're on your own. Right? He could have done that. That still would have been great. I mean, the fact that he would even love us and save us. But God even went a step further, and God said, I'm going to come and live and dwell inside of you. That's pretty amazing. You think about that. Look at the verse on the screen. It says, did you not know? Do you not know that you're the temple of God? Look at that. It says, the Spirit of God dwells where, church? In you. Think about this. In Genesis, first 2,000 years of history, God walked with man. Then Exodus through the cross, God dwelt among men in the tabernacle or the temple or in the camp. From the cross to now, God doesn't just walk with us. God doesn't just dwell among us in this room. God dwells inside of us. Look at verse number 12. Underline every time you see in us or in him. Look at this. It says, verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells, underline that, in us. God dwells in us. And his love is perfected, underline it, in us. We know that we live in him, and he, notice again, in us, three times already, in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives where? In him. Underline that, and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God where? In him. Underline that, in him. Could that be any clearer? Over and over he talks about how God dwells in us and lives in us. Jesus came to this earth to reveal God's love to the world, but he's not here anymore. How does God reveal himself and his love to the world? He reveals himself through the lives of his children. We're born of God, and he is in us. And you know that song that Clayton, you guys did? It says, we will be your hands and feet to the lost and least of these. When we love, remember, his love is in us. And when we love, it says in your handout, we reveal God's love to a needy world. The Bible says in verse 12 that no one has seen God at any time. So people don't see God every day, right? They don't see God. They see the results of God. If you just look around, I mean, you look around, you're like, whoa, man, look at the earth. You look at the solar systems, you look at the planets, you look at the stars and the moon, you look at a baby being born, it's like this human being's inside of another human being, and then all of a sudden it comes out and it's okay. It comes out of another human being. And if you've ever watched that, it's just like, you just want to it just brings you to tears. You're like, wow, God, I mean, that's amazing. That wasn't random. You know, you look at a little seed goes in the ground, and then all of a sudden, this rain keeps coming on the earth over and over, and the sun keeps hitting the earth perfectly, and this little old seed becomes food. And it keeps happening over and over and over again in the same ground. You keep getting food out of the same ground. It's like you see, people see the results of God all the time, but they don't see God and his love. And so we who know God and are born of God, we are channels of his love to flow through. They can't see God, right, physically, but they see his love as his children reach out in love and compassion to help those in need. Hey, question. Does God love sinners, yes or no? Yes. Well, we are his billboard that demonstrate that through our lives and how we love. And you know, this fruit of love, you know, Jesus said it's the number one thing. Look at that, top of the list. It's like the number one thing is love. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, how does that relate? Because I like to try to relate the Bible to the culture we're in and our everyday lives. The Bible is very applicable. And, you know, it's been a struggle this past year. I mean, it really has for so many of us. And it's been a struggle with COVID. And I thought, you know, as I've watched over the past year, and this is an observation, that listen, this only applies if you say it applies, you know, because only you know your heart. And so I will just say this. Here's an observation, and this is from talking to people. We talk to people, Denise, don't we, all the time. We're constantly talking to our members. And here's I think, one of the biggest struggles that that's come out of COVID for Christians. The biggest struggle has been this. It's gotten people into the habit. It's gotten some people into the habit of isolation and kind of like self-consumed, because anytime you're in isolation and you're not around other people, you become self-consumed. I mean, that's just part of it. It just happens. And I think that's been a big struggle for Christians. It's because, I mean, that's the number one thing is love, and you can't love unless you're around people. And yet culture has told us, and the government and the world has told us, you got to be isolated. And I get it. I understand all this back in March. Do you know it's been a year now since, you know, we weren't talking about this last year? Well, we sure have been since then, amen? But you think about it. It's been a year now. Next few weeks will be a year. And of course, they told us you need to isolate yourself and worry, you know, worry about yourself and all this. And I get it. I understand that. But what happens is it can be, not intentionally, but it can become a habit. And it can almost be where we like it. We kind of like being isolated. And that's, is that healthy? Yes or no? Did God create us to be isolated? Yes or no? No. And I think that what's happened is many people who are believers, and they were like really bearing the fruit of love, and they were engaged in church and engaged in ministries, engaged in helping people, engaged in serving and showing his love. It's been a year now, and many are still disconnected. And their life isn't able to have that impact that it had before COVID. And it's been a year since many people have set foot in church. Think about that, a whole year of our life. It's like you only get so many of these years. Have y'all noticed that? It's like you don't get hundreds of these. You know, you only get a set, like a little amount of years. And it's like a whole year without church, without gathering, without ministry, without serving, without doing outreach. And it's like, and the thing is, some people really are like consistent, and they're not going to restaurants, and they're not sending their kids to school, and they're not, you know, they're not going to ball games or amusement parks or any of that, and they're consistent, and they're genuinely fearful of getting this, that them or their loved one's going to die from this. And I get that, and the consistency, I appreciate that. But then we've had other people that have just been honest with us, and Denise and I will call people, and they're like, well, the truth is, we like watching at home. It's easier, they'll tell us. It's more comfortable. And I mean, let's face it, it is easier to sit at home and watch the services on TV. I mean, you can be comfortable, right? Is anyone in here in their PJs? I don't think so. No, we all had to get dressed, right? So you can be comfortable. You don't have to see people. You don't have to serve and be involved in any kind of ministry. You don't have to greet. You don't have to smile at people at church. You don't have to sacrifice your time getting ready and driving to church and getting the kids ready. There's only one problem with all of that. None of that is good spiritually for the person. That's the problem. None of that's good for them. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. You know, and look, I get it. I understand the ease and the convenience. And I understand, you know, if you don't like my sermon, man, you just change the channel. I sure don't like this sermon. Let's go to ESPN, right? Let's catch the pregame on the Super Bowl, man. I don't like what he's saying today. Or you just mute me, right? You can't mute me, those of you who are listening in person. Nobody in here has a mute button. Just kidding. Nobody muted me. I'm cutting up. And I want you guys to know that, again, this only applies if you think it applies to you. Because there's some people it has nothing to do with ease and convenience or comfort. It really is a fearful thing that they're afraid for themselves or a loved one, and I get that. And they're consistent, and I appreciate that. But can I say this in love? At some point, regardless, at some point you have to reengage. Right? You can't isolate forever. So you have to decide when that is, but at some point, you got to re-engage if you're going to bear the fruit of love. You got to re-engage at some point. Jesus did not simply talk about the love of God. Aren't you thankful he demonstrated it by giving his life on the cross? And that wasn't easy, and that wasn't convenient, and it wasn't comfortable. And he expects his children to do the same. He wants us to love. In action, indeed, And when we do love others and we bear that fruit of love, it's proof. The Bible says, I'm not saying it, the Bible says that when we love indeed, it proves that we know God. And in your handout, it says it proves that God truly lives in us. Isn't that what verse 16 says? We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. It's like the words to this song. Go ahead and bring it up. Look at the words to that song we did today. Jesus, you love the world with such a passion that you would not leave us all alone, right? With grace that we could not imagine, you called us your own. You took the cross for our redemption out of the darkness into light. So make your gospel our obsession. We lay down our lives. Is the gospel your obsession? It was for Jesus. It was for the Apostle Paul. It was for John. You called us out into the nations, the song says. So we won't hide behind these walls. We long to be a generation that will answer your call. Send us out like a river wild, our hearts ablaze with a holy fire. To see your glory, your kingdom come, we'll tell the story of what you've done. Send us out. And then the bridge says, we will be your what? Hands and feet. To the lost and least of these, send us out. We will glorify your name forever unashamed. Send us out. How does this apply to you? Well, you know, again, I can't be the Holy Spirit in your life. For some of you, it could be that you have disengaged from ministry through the whole COVID thing. And I understand that. Again, we get in habits. And so you maybe you disengaged. Maybe you were involved serving somewhere on Sunday. You've kind of disengaged. It's time to reengage. And that's how God spoke to your heart today. And then there's some of you, maybe you're like, you know what? Since COVID, I make it to church maybe once a month. But then I just watch online the other three Sundays. But God's kind of dealt with your heart that, man, it's not about ease and comfort and convenience. It's about serving. It's about people. It's about love, bearing the fruit of love. And you're like, man, I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to be faithful like I once was. And, you know, there could be people here today that you just need to engage with your neighbor or your coworker, or you need to engage with a friend or family member that needs the Lord. And you just need to engage with them and bear the fruit of love to them. You see, when God is at work in your life, the first thing that shows up is love. Loving people. And that's why I say, you know, that God hasn't called us to isolate ourselves, but to love. We may have to isolate temporarily like we've done for COVID. And it could be a temporary thing, but we just have to make sure we don't get into an isolation mindset. We have to make sure we understand our mission and our calling, and that's why are we even on this earth? We're here to love people. Amen, church? We're here to love. We're here to love. We're here to impact lives with His love. And you know, you look at that list. Look at it with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Would y'all agree with me that describes Jesus Christ? That's what God's doing in our life. It really is. That's what God's up to this year. God wants that to be manifested through us, the fruit. He wants us to bear that fruit. And you know, in your handout there, look at it with me. It says, the Spirit of God wants to make us more and more like what? Like what? I'm glad you didn't say Pastor Dan. I'm glad you didn't write that in the blank, because that isn't the answer. The Spirit of God wants to make us more and more like Christ. And that fruit of the Spirit, that's what that is. And again, I want to reiterate something. Okay? I'm thankful for you being here, and everyone's here at 9:30, and I'm thankful for those watching online, because many people I know are watching this right now. They live in states that aren't even open yet. Churches aren't even open. So I'm thankful for that. And you know what? We can worship God at home. Don't get me wrong. You can worship God anywhere. Amen? You can worship God anywhere. But God does put a high precedent in His Word on the corporate gathering. Because we're to love one another, care for each other, edify each other, build up each other, have compassion on one another. Bible says we weep with each other, we rejoice with each other. So many one another commands, and that's why God puts a precedent on that corporate gathering. And there are people who are very consistent. I mean, they're not going to stores, they're not going to restaurants, and that's fine. I get that. And at some point, I believe they will definitely get re-engaged, and they're going to be back, and boy, won't that be great. Amen? All I'm saying is you have to apply this to your heart the way the Holy Spirit applies it. God wants to bear the fruit of love in your life. And it's not some general concept. No, it's real. It's tangible. Love is smiling at someone and greeting them and saying, how you doing? How was your week? Do you have any prayer requests? What can I do for you? Love is action. Amen, church? Aren't you thankful Jesus gave His life out of love for us on the cross? It's action. And God wants to bear that fruit of love in our life very naturally each day. As we go through this series, we'll go through the different fruit there, and I believe by the end of this series, God is going to really do a work in our lives, and we will be better people because of it. So I hope you will keep coming back each week. So let's pray right now.